To be a wordsmith is defined as a person who writes, an author, a journalist, a person who commits their thoughts to paper. But I believe it is so much more. The ability to craft a story, to change lives, to transport the ordinary life to an extraordinary place, to put words on paper and awaken the imagination in ways that the reader never dreamed possible. Yes, to have the ability to see what isn't there and make you see it too. To awaken the senses in new and amazing ways, like feeling a cool breeze on a hot summer day on your cheek. To smell wildflowers as they bloom. To taste a delicacy on foreign soil. To feel like you've never felt before, touching places long forgotten, connecting your soul in new ways. That's what writers do. It's my pleasure to host Carolina Writers Speak, a new podcast, a chance to hear actual writers' voices, hear what inspires them, experience their trials and their struggles, and realize that we all have a story and it's worth telling. Hi, I'm Rose Cushing. I'm the host of Carolina Writers Speak. My guest today is Sherry Lupton Hollister, and Sherry has a brand new series coming out with the first book called How to Sabotage a Wild West Show. So, Sherry, thanks for being on our show.
I'm excited to be here, Rose.
We're excited to talk to you and learn all about this Wild West show and why would anybody want to sabotage it?
Yes, why would they want to sabotage it, right?
Yeah.
For some reason, I come up with some of the weirdest ideas, and I wanted to write a cozy mystery, and my husband's grandfather was in a Wild West show, and that kind of inspired the idea, and so I thought, well, what would happen if they found out the main protagonist's father was in line to be Duke? And so, you know, somebody is trying to keep him from reaching England and finding out that he is heir to a dukedom, or one of the heirs to a dukedom. And we're having a lot of fun. You know, I can't write anything without blowing something up. So, you know, I have to blow things up and, you know, commit a few murders and, you know, have a little fun along the way.
That keeps it interesting for sure. So tell us a little bit about you and then we'll get back to your book.
Okay. Well, I have been married to my husband for 32 years now. And we have 6 sons. They are all grown, thank God. We got them all grown. And I have, I think at last count, we have 23 grandchildren.
Ooh.
And we have one more on the way. And my son is dating a girl with a child. So we may gain 2 more by the summer.
Nice. Very nice. So the Applegate Mystery Series. Winnie Applegate is an intriguing character. Can you tell us a little about Winnie?
Winnie is 17-year-old Lakota. She's half Lakota Indian. She is a performer in a Wild West show that's run by her grandfather. I don't know. When you have a business that's run by a family member, you find yourself wearing many hats. And I think this is Winnie. She is doing whatever job needs to be done, from helping take care of the animals and the other performers, as a healer, which she learned the healing art from her great-grandmother. Her father is also the farrier for the company. So, he taught her how to take care of the animals. She also has a certain talent for taking care of people and animals. But then she is always looking for new acts to do. She started out doing trick writing and throwing knives. She does a little bit of target practice. She's always looking for another gimmick that she can do to help the show. She's always busy. And I think that's just part of her nature. She has to keep things going. And she's very smart, very curious, and a little on the bossy side. She's a big sister, so of course she's on the bossy side.
Yeah. So she just kind of takes on all the responsibilities, whether they're issued to her or not.
Yeah, I think that's just part of her personality. She's kind of a take charge person, and I base her a lot on the family members I have that are the oldest in the family. She's taking care of her little brother when her father was off working. She takes care of her father and her grandfathers because she is the female in the family. There's nobody else. And I think she also is looking for her place in the world, and her place seems to be that of caregiver, as well as her talents with healing and her talents with, performing. She enjoys the accolades she gets for both of those, they earn her a little bit of respect and a little bit of freedom.
Well, that makes sense. You'd want to be respected for all of your work that you're doing. So she's about to embark on a journey all the way across the country and across the ocean, huh?
Yes. And she finds love for the first time, and a little bit of heartbreak along the way. But when the sabotages first have start, they don't realize what's going on. They think it's just a series of accidents until one of the performers is killed, and her brother is accused of causing the death of the fellow performer. And she knows that her brother, despite his head being in the clouds half the time because he's an inventor, he's only 12 years old and he loves to invent things. But she knows that if he's given any job, he will do that job. I mean, that's just how they were raised. If you're given a task to do, you do that task. And so she's out to prove that he is innocent. And in doing so, she joins forces with a Lady Pinkerton, who is there to investigate the death of her colleague, and this mysterious, handsome stranger that has come up, and she kind of falls for him. And along the way, they find out that it wasn't an accident, it was murder, and that the fellow performer was not the only intended victim.
Ooh.
So,
So the plot thickens.
yes, the plot thickens. Yes.
Well, that sounds fantastic. Now, how many books do you think will be in the series?
I have three in the works already, with two more kind of niggling in the back of my mind. So I really think it's going to be a five book series, maybe more, because a lot of times when you finish one book, you go, oh, I have an idea for another book, So right now I have the second book finished. I'm working on the edits for it. The third book I have started, and I have ideas for the fourth and fifth, and I think that it could go on from there. It might be some slight changes, but I really feel like I have at least a five book series.
That's fantastic. And I have no doubt that it'll be able to hold our imaginations, indefinitely because the stories and the characters are so diverse.
Well, I also like the time period. The 1890s, so much was happening. I was just reading a little bit about the atrocities that were happening with the Native Americans at that time. There was also the industrial revolution that was going on, with everything was going from steam to gas-powered engines. Everything was just changing. I mean, my third book, I'm planning to have a motorcycle in the story, and I told my husband, I said, "Oh, I want to have the first motorcycle, in this story." He goes, "Well, when were they invented?" I was like, "Well, they actually came out." So I've already started doing some of the research for, the motorcycles and automobiles, airplanes. I mean, when you think about the turn of the century, we went from, horse and buggy to all of a sudden we shot a man to the moon, in just what, 50 years, 60 years?
So
So
much changed in that time period.
much changes. So I really feel like, this is the time period that so much excitement is happening. And I could just pick anything at random and have a story about it, and have a mystery.
I mean, what a world of change. My father was born in the 1890s. He was 60 when I was born, but he saw so much change in his life because he went from the invention of the automobile right up to, like you say, where the man on the moon and channels on a TV in the house, and so much happened during that time frame. It's just crazy. And I guess it still does now, but we don't realize it because we're living it, I reckon.
Well, I know a lot of things still happen at a fast pace, but I don't think the changes are quite as dramatic as what they were back then. You just figure our moralities, our social norms, even our life expectancy, all of that changed so much. And at this, I would say probably from the 1860s to the 1960s, that 100-year period was just, I mean, everything was just turning over.
And it pretty much was on a rotation, every so many years it completely changed, and it completely changed, You're absolutely right. It's a fascinating time period. And it's so cool in your book that, while there's modernization happening, you still got a Wild West show. So I love the whole premise of the series. I think that's really fantastic. Now, you've written a ton of books, so tell us a little bit more about your other books. I know you have a lot of different kinds that you've written.
My original series is a contemporary romantic suspense. To me, the difference between suspense and mystery is the suspense, you a lot of times know what is happening. Where mystery, you kind of have to uncover it. And I wasn't quite prepared to do the mystery at that time. Plus, contemporary, it is, I love contemporary stories, but I wasn't quite ready to write historicals at that time. We had lost our house to a fire, and I think my personality was in a darker spot. So the stories that I wrote for the Leeward Files are a little bit darker. There was also some things happening in the news at that time, with sex trafficking and everything. North Carolina was one of the highest in the nation in sex trafficking, in human trafficking. And I think that really struck me. And that became part of my story, for the first five books. And the spinoff from that series, the Harrell Family Chronicles, was about one family trying to rebuild the community after all of the devastation and everything that had happened. And I think that also lent to the time period. We had had the fire on one year, and then the next year we had Hurricane Irene, which devastated our community. But then we started a rebuilding in our community, and I used that rebuilding as part of the rebuilding in my stories. And my stories are loosely based on my community. I changed the name to Leeward to be able to have a little bit more creative license and freedom to, change things as I needed to. But it was about Eastern North Carolina. And I really wanted to bring those personalities into play. My sister-in-law loves the second book in the Leeward Files series because she tells me that's hers. That's her story. But a lot of people will tell me that they recognize the places and the names and the different things in the stories because, they feel like home. Well, they are. They are based on what I know, what I grew up with, what was already around me, but I made a few changes to make it fit what I wanted it to fit,
Well, that every book you've written has been intriguing and interesting. I have noticed, on your Amazon page, you got a lot of good reviews, and the things that I've read certainly have impressed me very much.
Thank you.
So, with this new series, your book's going to launch in the next week or so. I asked that laughing.
I know we are hopeful, right?
Yeah, we are hopeful that it will launch in the next week or so. You always run into little awkward problems when you're trying to get the printer to actually print it. And but we're working them out, and it'll be on the market very, very soon. And you have a book signing set up too in late February, don't you?
Yes, February 24th at the Blue Crab Boutique here in Aurora, which is my hometown. Bev Horvath has been a very big supporter of mine, and she owns the Blue Crab Boutique. We will be there from 1 to 4, and I'm getting excited about it. I've got a giveaway I'm going to get together. Some cute little socks that I had picked up. It says, this princess, oh, something about, forget glass slippers. This princess wears cowboy boots. I thought that was perfect for,
It is.
Winnie's character. And, so I'm putting together a giveaway, and I'm going to make it available online for, USA, readers. And anybody signs up for my newsletter can have access to the contest. So we're going to set that up here shortly, and hopefully, the day of the event, we can draw the name and see who wins.
Very nice. That'll be fun. And how do people find your newsletter to sign up?
Yes. Ooh, I have to look that up because it's changed.
Yeah.
It's
It's a trick question.
a trick question. Well, you get so used to doing things a certain way, and then when you change things, it's like, oh Lord, I forgot the answer to that question.
I know.
You can go to my website, and you can find my information there. My website is Sherry L. Hollister at WordPress, and the newsletter is Welcome to the 1890s. I believe it is on my Applegate Facebook page.
Welcome to the 1890s.
Yes, Welcome to the
That's cool.
1890s. And I'm putting together a lot of my research that I'm doing, anything that I find interesting, like my crazy idea for the one of my characters. He builds a motorized cart, so I have to all the information that I can find about how he would have done that in the 1890s, what would have been available to him, and things like that, so. My husband is a mechanic, and my children are all a little bit on the nerdy side. So we all kind of brainstorm over ideas for what I can add to the story, and then we start doing research on the history and everything. So it's kind of a family thing. And my grandchildren have been helping me kill people off. This is
Well, it's
my
fun to get their buy-in.
Oh yes, my older grandchildren, it's become kind of a funny they will sit around here and go, okay, what's a new way I can murder people, So
That's cute.
where can I hide the body,
There you go. Little generation of little writers. That's so cool. Now, as a writer, what's your biggest obstacle besides me in getting your book out there to the public?
Time for me, I think, is my biggest thing because I work a full-time job, and as I said, I have 6 children and 20 some grandchildren, and you want to spend time with everybody. Plus, I'm very involved with my community and very involved with my writers groups. I'm chairperson for the Pamlico Writers Group and VP of Communication for my Heart of Carolina Romance Writers Group. So I am stretched thin,
Yes.
but I love it. I mean, after raising six boys, it was kind of lonely over here. So I needed something else to do to occupy my time. And so I think I've always been active. Even when the kids were little, we did scouts and we did stuff with the community and everything. There was always something going on. I think we went to three different churches and scouts and all of that when the kids were little. So plus sports. So I don't remember ever not having something to do.
I told my sister my worst nightmare about getting older is being bored. I don't want to be bored. I don't think there's any
I don't
danger.
know what I would do if I was bored.
I know, it's like, what do regular people do? I don't know.
I never have time to be bored. There's always something to do. There's things that I don't want to do, like clean house.
Yeah,
I
I'm
mean,
pretty
you
good
know.
about anything but that.
Yeah,
Yeah.
my house is crying already, you know.
Mine looks like a tornado's went through. And if I cook, I mess up every dish in the house, so there's always dishes. I love your work and I love working with you. And what advice would you give writers coming into the writing arena, trying to learn how to get their books out there and get their mark on the world?
To me, I think the best thing I ever did was join a writer's group. You learn so much from other people that have been there before you. If you don't have a writer's group in your area, online is good. It's not quite the same as in person, but I have a couple of writer's groups that I am involved with online as well as in person. But my in-person groups have been they have taught me everything from formatting my books to even the little things like how to check for edits, you know, what is the best programs to use for writing in, you know. I also do a lot of YouTube videos. Sometimes I want to know how to do something. I will listen to How to Write Mysteries by Jane Kalmus over and over again because she gives you such a precise way of doing it. Now, I'm not an outliner, so outlining is not my thing to do, but I still want to know how she does it. You know, I'll use bits and pieces to fit my own way of writing.
So you're a panster.
Most of the time I'm a pantser, but I do a little bit of planning. I call myself more of a planner than a plotter or a pantser because I have little notes about this is what I want to happen, that's what I want to happen. I do a fast draft of my story, which is probably an outline, but I don't call it an outline because that makes my brain freeze. But I do a fast draft of my story and then I go back and I just hang fruit on it. You know, I fill it in. I get it, you know, everything's done with me with layers. When I first write the story, I just get the story down. As I'm going through, then I know how the character is going to act. And then I know how some of the emotions are going to be and, you know, some of the details, you know, what else is around, what would happen in that time period? Like, because I'm doing the 1890s, what is going on historically at this time? So what else can I add in, you know, to make that story richer?
That's a very smart way to do it, and I know you do intensive research on all your books.
I think sometimes I have a tendency to do too much research because I really go down that rabbit hole and it's like, oh, here's another one. You know, let me follow this one down.
I know you can kill hours before you realize it. All of a sudden, it's night outside. It's like, what happened?
Where did
No,
the day go?
definitely so. So,
when your books are when your new book is out, it'll obviously be available at all, everywhere that good books are sold. And how can people find your other book, Sherry?
They are available on all ebook retailers, and as far as print books, Barnes and Noble, Amazon, and locally I have them at Next Chapter Books in Newbern, the Riverwalk Gallery in Washington, and the Blue Crab Boutique here in Aurora, and most of the local libraries have access to them.
Very nice.
I always try to donate to my local library. We have a BHM, which is Beaufort, Hyde, and Martin Library, and so I always take a book to them whenever I publish a new book, and so that has helped get me a little bit of a fan base.
Absolutely. Paying it forward like that is so important.
My librarians have been my lifesavers, I tell you. They have been my beta readers and my proofreaders and everything, and help me with research. If I call one of them up and say, I need this information, one of them will go, okay, give me a few minutes and I'll find that for you. It may
Nice.
take a few days, but
Yeah.
usually, yeah.
So nice to have that support for sure.
Oh, yes. Yes, I've been blessed.
Yes. All right then. So how can people follow you?
I am on social media. I have a TikTok channel that is just Sherry L. Hollister. I have LinkedIn, Facebook, and Facebook I am under Sherry L. Hollister or under Applegate Mysteries.
All right.
You can find me on Instagram under both names, and I think that's all
Yeah.
of them. But just Google Applegate Mysteries and you should be able to find me.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you. I enjoyed it. And I love your red hair. I think that looks good on you.
Oh, thank you. I'm canning today, so I just plastered it to my head, but when it's done something with, it looks a lot better, but thank you.
Well, I think it looks real cute on you.
Thank you. And as always, everybody out there listening, thank you for listening to us. Take care.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Everybody has a story. Just let your mind drift away and find yours. I know it's out there. What are you waiting for?